Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to the following on podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, as ever, double Ashes winner and former number one fast bowler in the world, Steve Harmison. Looking back at day two of the Lord's Test match, the second Test match of a five Test series between England and India. And this is Following On. Okay, well, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know by now that... Well, it was England's day, just about. India still in control, but England did well. 276 for three, bowled out for 364. Absolutely, England would have taken that, with Jadeja hitting 40. But Rahul and Rahane going within seven deliveries of day two. And really, Rishabh Pant aside with 37, quite sluggish out there as the Lord's track continued to confound the bowlers. Five for Anderson, the seventh time he's done that here at Lord's. Brilliant stuff from him. And how reliant were England on their number one bowler? When England came out to bat, they got through to tee unscathed, and then a horrible moment, really. Sibley, well, it was a carbon copy of his dismissal in the first Test match when he just steered a delivery on the pads to short mid-wicket. And then Hamid, a wicket that will be reviewed and replayed many, many times, no doubt in the batsman's head. Out first ball, missing a straight one. Horrible, horrible moment for him. And for England, 23 for two. And Root asked to rectify things again, and he did so, alongside Rory Burns, putting on 85 for the third wicket before Burns was the third man to go. England closing on 119 for three. So still trailing by over 200, but with seven wickets in hand. Plenty to get our teeth stuck into here on the Following On podcast.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, let's start up first off with... let's start off with Hamid, because that was such a brutal moment and a reminder of just how cruel this game can be.
It is. It's horrible, isn't it? It is. It's horrible. I feel sorry for the kid. He's missed the strike one. And there's no way you can't sugarcoat it. He's just played horribly down the wrong line of a straight ball. First ball back after a five-year absence. Yeah, where's your luck? You've worked so hard to get yourself back, your career back on track after being released by Lancashire and going scoring runs and then fielded for 127 overs. Lead boots on, and he's just played down the wrong line. And Sibley's was awful because he was off balance. Hamid looked as though his head was going down a wicket. His foot was going towards the ball, but at some point he's just got his foot stuck. Hasn't quite got to the pitch of the ball, which meant he couldn't get his bat in between as the first line of defence, and it's missed everything and it's hit the stumps. And good bowling by Siraj. I think he bowled really well again. And I think he's a crackerjack, him. He's brilliant as a character and as a person. And I've said this, and there's two bits of advice I would give Mohammad Siraj. One, don't change anything you do on the field. Be yourself, enjoy yourself, and go for it as much as you can. And two, learn how to play the short ball. Because if you're going to give what you give, my friend, you are going to get some bouncers. when you eventually go out to bat and you're going to cop a few. But I thought he was excellent today again. Unlucky for Hamid. But, hey, that's what this game is. It's Test cricket, and that's what you sign up for.
Do you think Dominic Sibley's got one more innings to keep his Test career alive for the short term?
I just wonder if the selectors are thinking we've dropped the wrong one. I really do. I really think they must be sitting there thinking, Chris Silverwood is sitting there thinking, not because of the dismissal, but because of the partnership. The partnership is fine if you both go on and you do what Keir Rahul did. Keir Rahul was 18 off about 100 balls, and he went on and he brought his scoring rate from 20%, from 20, strike rate of 20 to about 50 by the end of his innings. 130, fantastic knock. We can't keep batting like that. We've got, we're 119 for 3 or 45 overs, largely down to the way Joe Root came out and hit boundaries. We cannot have an opening partnership. Yes, you can say it, they nullified the new ball, but the game was going nowhere. And if you lose two quick wickets like we did at 23 for 2, we are staring down the barrel. And that is happening far too often now. So I just wonder if the selectors are thinking, you know what, did we drop the wrong man? Because if Crawley's out there and he stays out there, Crawley's strike rate naturally will be a lot better than having Burns and Sibley. So the Sibley shot was a poor one. He's indefensible. It's a poor shot. His feet are going one way. His head's all over the shot. And his hands are more or less down leg side when he makes contact with the ball. It just visually looked horrible. And he's given his wicket away. And I wouldn't even expect that in second 11 cricket, in club cricket, never mind test match cricket at the home of cricket at Lord's, playing for England. So look, he's got to take the criticism. It was a poor shot. And this is happening far too many times now for the top order of England batsmen.
What is going on with England's fielding? In the first test match, they missed about 5 runouts and 3 catches. Today, my notes say England missed runout, Sharma dropped on 4, Sharma missed runout, Jadeja dropped on 39, Jadeja missed runout.
It was hilarious. Honestly, there was a passage of play, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Ball goes in, Hamid couldn't hit the stumps from 10 yards. Yeah. Ball goes in, Bairstow couldn't hit the stumps from 5 yards.
Yeah.
Hasim Hamid hit the stumps from the boundary, 65 yards away. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So, look, it just seems to be falling that way for England. And, you know, and there's times where you catch one-handed. There's times where you think, oh, what, you know, comes off somebody's sort of leg, hits the bowler and hits the stumps. There's just these things happen. But it was a passage of play, which I thought was quite amusing, when we couldn't hit the stumps from inside the catching circle, and then we hit the stumps from 65 yards away. So, look, I think it just comes down to pressure. Johnny Bairstow played for Yorkshire, and a white shirt or a blue shirt for Yorkshire, he underarms that. Doesn't try and throw it as hard as he can on overarm. It's pressure. That's what test match cricket, the big crowd, the big stage brings to you. And I think that's what happened with Johnny and with the England fielders.
A player who knows how to deal with the pressure of playing at Lord's, Jimmy Anderson, his 7th fifer at Lord's. We always talk about Trent Bridge being his favourite ground. He's got his own stand at Old Trafford, of course, where he plays for Lancashire. But home of cricket, well, he makes himself at home more often than not here. The 4th time he's taken a fifer against India as well here at Lord's.
It is mind-boggling. You can't say any more than we already say about Jimmy. He is just a superstar in more ways than one. They're talking about being on the honours board. I think forget being on the honours board. They're going to have to give him his own. He's going to have his own honours board in some corner of that dressing room, the James Anderson honours board, because he's on it that much. He's frighteningly good when things need to happen. And what I mean by that is when things aren't happening and the pitch is still, because the pitch is very, very slow, the ball's not moving off the surface or in the air laterally, his ability to have a go at the opposition's technique when it's not quite right, from wide of the crease, just sort of angling the seam in, taking the ball away, it was a masterclass again by, you know, England's all-time and the world's all-time great. So, you know, he was phenomenal. And, you know, just got to remember as well, it's back-to-back test matches where he bowled brilliantly at Trent Bridge. There was an injury scare, whether he was going to play or not. And he's 39-year-old. on a flat. He's got 5 for 62 off 29 overs. And the man is just a genius.
Absolutely. I can't really add anything else to that. Talking of genius, we've been talking about the over-reliance on Joe Root. He's there again at stumps, 49 not out.
Brilliant. You can't say too much more about you with the superlatives you give about Anderson. You've got to give them to Root. He went from 14 to 18 in this innings. He ran it down to third man, and he went past 8,900 runs. The great Graham Gooch to go second in the all-time list behind Sir Alistair Cook, when Alistair Cook is a long way ahead. He's 12,472, and that's a lot of runs for Joe Root. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets close, if not goes past. The beauty about today's innings for me was his calmness, because I don't think, and I think I'd love to know this from Joe, and you might say it if he gets a big score and he talks about what happened today. I don't think he was as fluid and as comfortable foot movement, and that might be because of the slope at Lords, than what he was at Trent Bridge. But his ability, a bit like Sir Alistair Cook mentioned him, his ability to find a way of scoring runs is just, that's what makes him great. That's what makes him great. He run the ball down to third man, beautiful. He clipped the ball into the legs, nice. And then when it started to come good for him, he hit two or three extra cover drives, which were back to what he was at Trent Bridge. And he started to be getting to where he was at Trent Bridge. So for me, it was a great knock by the England captain. He's nowhere near finished. And he needs to get a double what he's got now for England to stand any chance of making this a one-innings game off ODIs 4 and ODI 5.
Yeah, absolutely. You still feel that if India get him early tomorrow, day three, you know, nearly a halfway point of the wickets gone, it's going to be very, very difficult for England to get themselves up to the total that India managed. Let's talk about India's batting lineup, because it is a bit odd. You know, they've got in KL Rahul, a guy that's really overperformed in terms of the expectations coming in. You've got the class of Rohit Sharma. So they'd be getting off to good starts there. But moving away from them, you've got Pujara and Rahane, who look woefully out of form, both of them. Virat Kohli, okay, we know all about him, and equally so Rishabh Pant. But then, of course, you've got this situation where Ishant Sharma is coming in. Actually, it was Mohammad Shami is coming in at the fall of the sixth wicket, and whoever he's going to be batting with has suddenly got to, you know, block out four and then take a single. And it makes a pretty torturous cricket. And it just does kind of shine another light on an Indian side, which is held up as being one of the best ever. But there's a paucity of batting there. And you just got a feeling that if the top, they are not as reliant on Root that England are, but they are still overly reliant on their top two getting them off to a good start. If England can expose that, then they'd fancy their chances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important that Root gets a score and England can get runs, because to make it a one-innings game, it's a two-wicketer, isn't it? If you get one of the top two early and you can get Kohli in and out, all of a sudden you can run through this India side if the ball's doing a bit off the wicket, breaks up and becomes uneven. So, that's why I applaud India to one extent with the side that they've got, because they're trying to pick four fast bowlers to win a game and they're not bothered about batting. They're putting the onus and responsibility on the batting. At the moment, I'm working with a great VVS Laxman, and he was very critical of Jadeja not trusting 8, 9, 10. He said the way he played 8, 9, 10 should have been just number 11. For the simple fact is, this is what you've got to trust the people around, and this is you can't detract from your job to try and protect 8, 9, and 10. But having said that, Mohammad Shami came out at number 8 and arguably played as bad a shot as what Dom Sibley did. Now your carbon copy. So I can understand what VVS is saying, but I think if you're in that position with Jadeja and you know that you're batting with four number 11s, you have to try and protect it. It did what did get for some horrendous watching. I must admit, I was asleep for most of this middle session, because I think between Burns and Sibley and India's bottom four, wasn't a great deal happening, to be honest. So I thought England stuck to the task well. I thought Jadeja batted well, and the game didn't go anywhere for a short period of time. But you know, they're so reliant on the top two plus Kohli, who is not firing. And Pajara and Rahane look as though they're in a position where they could be finished by the end of this series. And yeah, their careers could be over because the age they're at, the caps they've had, and the people that are underneath ready to come in, if you're watching the IPL and the Surikumar Yadavs and Ishan Kishners and of the world, you're thinking, well, Pajara and Rahane, if they get left out, that's probably the end of their test match career. So I think that will be in the Indian selectors' minds, but they need to get runs quickly because they both look like a cat in a hot tin roof. And when you've got Anderson with the Duke ball in English conditions, any sort of weakness and he will exploit, and he has done.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
LOL of the day.
Right, I've brought back Laugh Out Loud Moment of the Day because there was a Laugh Out Loud Moment of the Day. And once again, it involved Joe Root, Virat Kohli and Mohammad Siraj. So three times at Trent Bridge, India burnt reviews because of over-appealing and exuberance from Mohammad Siraj. And it happened again today in the 21st and 23rd over. Joe Root, the batsman on both occasions, given not out leg before wicket, and Siraj going up and convincing his captain to review. Now, the first time, India had three reviews left, but it was what is so funny is that Siraj absolutely wants his captain to review. The wicketkeeper is telling his captain not to review. And Kohli just has to review. And he's thinking, well, I've got three of these babies. I'm going to just burn one. Of course, it's not overturned. He loses one. The next over, the LBW shout is definitely closer. It hits the batsman lower down on the pad. But Siraj doesn't even, he can't even look at his captain. He thinks it's out, it's worth a review, but he knows what's going on here. As do the crowd, who are all giving it the ooh as the clock is ticking down. And then about 4 seconds to go, you can see Rishabh Pant just like, no, we're not reviewing this one. And Kohli, he can't even look at the umpire or anyone. And then he does the signal with 2 seconds to go, at which point Pant goes, what are you doing? And then Kohli starts arguing with Pant. The crowd cheer. Everyone looks up at the big screen. And of course, it's going to go on to miss. And India lose another review. And it was just hilarious. And you know what's going to happen? They're not going to review one that they should do, or they're going to burn another one. And then they're going to get on the wrong end of a decision from the umpire. And they're not going to have any reviews to use. It's written in the stars.
It is written in the stars. It's got Headingley written all over again. And these reviews are crucial in test matches. You go back to 2019, Headingley, Tim Payne, reviewed. Didn't go in his favour. And the one when he needed the review, he didn't have it. And Ben Stokes would have been out and the game would have been over. So they are very, very crucial. It's just when Mohammad Siraj hits a pad and he looks at his captain, they should play the Benny Hill music. They should play the Benny Hill music because, and when you were saying about, Rishabh Pant, which is amazing because I'm not even sure Rishad Pant is watching half the time. I think he's having a look who's in the crowd and, you know, what's going on around him. And he's even trying to get a hold of Coley's hand not to review it. You've got to think you take a risk because it's Joe Root, and you know it's Joe Root, and it's a big player, and it's a huge player in the England game. But I think Mohammed Siraj has gone to the Stuart Broad School of Review System, and it just doesn't work. And when you look at when I look at it, and you go back through it, India have reviewed 10, the last 10 of Mohammed Siraj. You know, one was out. I think two was umpire's call, and seven have lost the review. Not umpire, not even umpire's call. They've lost the review seven times in the last LBWs that Siraj has asked his captain to review. So, from that point of view, I think Virat Kohli, the next time Siraj hits the pads, if the finger doesn't go up, he needs to walk off, try and walk off the other direction, so Siraj can't catch him, because it's just simple. It's not working.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, your prediction for day two was scarily accurate. So what's going to happen on day three?
I think England will get somewhere close to India, if not potentially go past. And to do that...
Well, if that happens, they're going to have to bat-tail the Headingley test.
Yeah, and to do that, I'm backing my boys. And to do that, I'm looking at the captain getting another three-figure score. And why I say this is I think... If Joe Root goes and scores 100, with Ollie Robinson coming in at number 9, even Mark Wood, we've seen Wood get 40s and 50s just standing there and flashing blade. If Root gets to 100, the length of time it's going to take, the India bowlers are going to be tired by then. And if the India bowlers are a bit like, you know, gone there and we haven't even mentioned it, the Strauss days, when the bowlers got tired and the likes of Pryor, Swan, and Broad, before you got hit in the head, came in. I think this lower six, from 6, 7, 8, 9, can actually hit the ball. And I think if you've got Root at one end and you know by lunchtime in India aren't going to get him out, then all of a sudden England then become a dangerous animal at the bottom end, tired bowlers, soft ball. And if the crowd get behind them, I think England could really make here. So if Joe Root, and I want Joe Root desperately to get another 100, if he can do that, I think England could go past India. And if they do, they might just put themselves in a position to win the Test match.
Brilliant. And before I let you go, you are wearing red. You mentioned Andrew Strauss, another. I tell you what, mate, this place at Lord's, they really went for it this year. And from up here, looking down, it really was a sea of red. And they've raised a lot of money as well. But a little word for your old friend, your old friends, really, because everyone was affected by the sad occurrence involving Ruth.
Yeah, and I've played my whole career with Andrew. We've got kids born on the same day, 3-4 years apart. Sam, I think Sam's 15, Abby's 18, both born on the 4th of December. And I must admit, Matt, between 10:30 and 11 o'clock this morning, if you had come to me, you would have gotten nothing out of me. And that's saying something coming out of me, because I couldn't stop. I must admit, I'm happy to say I'm a grown man, but to see Ruth, to see Andrew, to see Sam and Luca walking around that ground, where the England, I'm starting to go now, the way the England team and the India team, the heart on the field, Matt, there wasn't a dry eye in the Harmison household because of what we knew, who we knew and how we knew Ruth, the boys, and Sir Andrew. It's what's come out of a heartbreaking situation is unbelievable. And to be sitting at 7 o'clock and raised £530,000 at Lord's today is remarkable. And I congratulate everybody that was there. And you know, I hope we keep going, because he is an amazing human being, Andrew Strauss. And he's the way he's looked after them two boys and got them through what's been a horrendous situation. My heart and hats off to him, because, you know, I'm a family man and nobody would like to go through that, not even close to going through that. So, you know, congratulations, Strauss. You keep up the good work.
Yep. Well said, matey. Not for the first time. We'll leave it there. Myself and Harmy will be back following day three to see if he nails another prediction. You've been listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.